Hey guys, welcome to the Witch's Table. Today it is Melissa and I, and we are going over some astrology of the moment and going over a little bit of some Venus and retrograde themes specifically, as well as some other different things regarding physicality, the body, health, and touching base with Ganesh again this week. So we wanted to start off by going over some astrology. So just in a few days here, Venus is going retrograde into Leo, or it's already in Leo, it just moved into Leo, but it's going retrograde. So what does that mean?
Venus in, Leo retrograde has to do with the question of who am I and what do I want? And it might sound like two different questions, but they're not. Because if we truly know ourselves, that's the Leo part. We also know what we want, that's the Venus part. And similarly, our heart's longing is the compass that guides us to ourselves. So when we know what we want, we know who we are.
Yeah, very interesting. So then we're talking a little bit about a certain pattern that Venus is making when she goes retrograde. So she comes into the apex of a yod, and in astrology the yod is also referred to as the finger of God. Mm-hmm. Because it appears to look like somebody is pointing their finger at something really important. So Venus is at the apex of this triangle is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And then at the base is Neptune and Pluto. And so Neptune and Pluto are generational signs. People born within the same, 5-6 years on either end of you usually will have the same Neptune or Pluto square, sometimes even longer. So you're like my generation, for instance, I'm kind of in between Gen Z and Gen Y. And there's a lot of crossover with the Pluto and Sagittarius for my generation.
Yeah.
So Venus is at the apex of this and is pointing to something that's very important for every single one of us. So more so than other retrogrades, this one is extremely significant because of that yod pattern that's happening. It's literally like a blinking signal being like, hey, you should look at this.
Yeah, like you need to do it right now.
Yeah.
And where's the apex of the yod again?
Is Venus in Leo.
Okay. And the other two legs are Neptune
and Pluto.
And
Neptune and Pluto.
Well, there's two
Neptune legs. Which I believe is in Aquarius right now.
Okay.
And then Pluto, which just retrograded back to Capricorn.
Okay. So those are the things that need to be balanced. When you're looking at a yod, the thing being pointed to is what you need to deal with. The two smaller angles, the little short angle at the bottom, which is a 60-degree angle, represent the two things that appear to be in conflict and need to be thought about and balanced in order to manifest the thing that the yod is pointing at. So we've got Pluto in Neptune.
Pluto is in Capricorn, but it's retrograde.
That's right. So Pluto in Capricorn. So we talked about that before. You know, Pluto being the big transformer and Capricorn being the lawgiver. You know, so that's very heavy. You know, what's going to be transformed? What are the rules? What are the laws? Work, responsibility, kind of really heavy on that side. And on the other side, we have
Neptune.
And Neptune is watery and emotional and wants to bring flow. Neptune can sometimes be very dreamy and want to move in a slower way.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense to me.
Definitely.
You know, you've got this pokey, itchy thing over here with Capricorn and Pluto. And you've got this kind of yummy, slow, kind of take it as it wants over here with Neptune.
Mm-hmm.
Those are polar opposites.
Polar opposites.
Right. So how do you combine those two things to take the best advantage of this yod, the point of this yod in Venus?
So the energy I was getting hits on energetically for just Venus and Leo without the retrograde, is more of the themes of like that, like juiciness of life, like something you're really passionate about, relationships, hobbies, just things that bring you pleasure, because that's what Venus rules over. Also, when you have Venus in a fire sign, it's just a generally more passionate energy. But then when we go retrograde, I feel like how it's manifesting for me, at least, I usually will kind of get hits on it before it happens. It's showing up like the opposite of what we're passionate about. So this transformation is taking place by showing us what we don't want, what we're not about. I know that there are some people within the spiritual community that like avoid talking about these things of like, I don't want it, so I'm not going to talk about it because I might manifest it. But that's not how it works.
Right.
Like, you have to be honest. You have to look at both sides of it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like actually knowing what you don't want helps give you so much clarity. Your manifestations.
Right. And that yod pointing there is showing you two ways that you can work on balancing. You know, the very strictness of law, habit, your ideals, balanced with wanting to just relax and go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and yeah, in order to understand who you are and what you want, you have to first start tackling and dealing with that darker
when is
side.
When is which appropriate and when is it advantageous even?
The next thing after this July 23rd astrological event is Pluto squaring the lunar node. And the lunar node is pretty much the entire month is what that influence is. So it's inviting us to break generational cycles, healing deeply ingrained behavioral patterns. And again, that points to understanding where some of our behavioral patterns come from.
Definitely.
You know.
That plays right into the Venus themes, because the nodes just shifted from the Taurus Scorpio over to Aries and Libra. So it's your relationship with yourself, but also your relationship with others and how those can mirror each other.
Right.
And Venus is like shining like the sun itself with Leo right on these like major themes in life.
Exactly. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we also have Chiron stationary retrograde, and that helps us take ownership of those wounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, you have to look at it. You know, the wounds are not your fault. What happened to you happened to you. But they have been inflicted, and you have to admit that. You have to look at it. You have to think about how did that happen? Why did that happen? And rather than go from a place of blame or weakness or victimization, look at, okay, how did that affect me?
Mm-hmm.
And who am I in the world because of that?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I shift that?
Exactly. And I will say that I think it's significant in other ways. Like, to me, it just seems like very much divine timing right now with everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really,
because
is.
All of these transits are falling like within Cancer season, because we're still in it for a couple more days.
Yeah.
Or I think today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives us that softness to be able to hold ourselves while we're shining a light on these big, big things that maybe you haven't had any awareness of before, just are starting to.
Yeah.
So it's that more like nurturing underlying energy from day to day that kind of keeps you from going all the way in to, like, you know, to the more dark side where you're not able to pull out of that.
Yes. And that's always a balance. Very much like that yod again.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to balance the dark side.
You got to
be able to go in there.
Don't
and
get
poke
stuck.
Around, but yeah, don't get stuck, because that's a whole another level of, you know, mental illness and depression and dysfunction, and it's nasty in there.
Yep.
You know, so we have an advantage here with Chiron. Chiron's influence at the same time that we have Venus's influence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Venus wants everything to be awesome.
Right.
And Chiron wants you to go poking around in the back of the dark closet. So you kind of find a way to balance that. But Chiron is asking us to own our wounds. And compensation and overcompensation is the very first part of the healing process. So you might think about, where do you overcompensate? And sometimes you might manifest in a very type A way, or somebody who is an overachiever, or somebody who gets super irritable really quick for no reason. That's also a form of overcompensation, because you do that behavior as a way of hiding or not dealing with the underlying issue.
Mm-hmm.
So a good place to look at your shadow is, where are you overcompensating? You know, I mean, I've been a type A my whole life.
Yeah, I know. You're saying that. I'm like, I feel called out.
Right. I felt called out when I read that. So I was like, oh, shit. Okay, you know. But I mean, I also know that. And I've done a lot of work around that. And it's still something that I'm almost always on a yawed kind of balancing mm-hmm. teeter-totter with that.
Yeah.
You know, always watching myself like, okay, do I really need to do this thing to that degree? Can I back that off a little bit? Can I walk that down? You know, so that's my thing that I deal with, is that need to overcompensation, to have everything done, have everything ready, do everything right, do it to the best of my ability, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's exhausting. And then when there's failure, it's like utter devastation.
Yeah.
Like just utter devastation, you know, so there's no balance there. So a lot of personal lessons for myself, I continue to learn on that one topic, which is huge.
Yeah.
And which is really up for everyone right now.
Exactly.
Where are you overcompensating? Should we go to July 25th?
Yeah.
So July 25th, I'm telling you, this July thing is like intense. I thought those three eclipse moons were intense. This stuff in July is just crazy. Mm-hmm. So we have Pluto in Capricorn, squaring the North Node, transiting an evolutionary event that astrologers call a skipped step. So Pluto is at the midpoint of the two lunar nodes, and it's got one foot in the past and the other in the future, acting like a bridge for us to step forward or not. Pluto squares the lunar nodes, mandating healing of those generational wounds and rewriting our more constructive behavior patterns. So the North Node is representing our future, what we talked about earlier, who are we wanting to be, who are we growing into, who are we becoming. And that South Node is all about our past baggage. Again, it's about balance. What is the structural part of my identity? What's my foundations? Where did I come from? What had me be the way I am? All of that needs to be balanced and looked at against, what do I want to create in the future?
Mm-hmm. Because you can't go forward and create with the naive or foolish mindset. You have to be very aware of your past, mm-hmm. almost like it's like that Virgo energy of like taking all the notes and being mm-hmm. detailed and organized about mm-hmm. it. So you know, this in the past didn't work for you, what you can do to avoid that right. failure in the future.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we might want to just leave things in the past. Like, oh, that was terrible, awful. I'm just never going to think about it again. It's in the past. I'm over it. Well, you're probably not.
Things are hardly ever just in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. You really got to deal with it. And
in this day and age, they love to resurface. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You don't got to wallow in it. But you need to understand it. There's lessons.
It's going to keep coming up in an emotional way until you are able to understand it.
Right.
Then when it does come up, it's more so your intuition knocking and being like, hey, this feels like that. And remember how that didn't work out?
Uh-huh.
You don't have to get butthurt about it.
Yeah.
It just, you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I did do this step last time mm-hmm. and I also failed. So let me skip this one this time and do
exactly.
something different.
Yes, a skip mm-hmm. step. Right. Mm-hmm. Learn from that generational past and the generational damage and get on the bridge to the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, like, people are so committed to that trauma or that cycle
mm-hmm.
that they're, like, so focused on it because they hate the change. They just can't stand the change that they don't realize, like, their life could do a total 180 if they just,
yeah,
like, pivoted their focus and focus on what they have to gain.
Yeah. it's called a racket.
Yeah, the racket.
We talked about that before, but it's a behavior that you do all the time, or a situation that you continually find yourself in, and you don't change it, and then you have a complaint about that.
Mm.
Because you get more juice and more attention out of the complaint about the situation than you do out of altering it.
At least in the muggle world.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yep.
Okay, and then we have the 28th of July. I hope you guys are like marking your calendars for all these pivotal events. Mercury enters Virgo. And Virgo was Mercury's favorite sign, so they're all happy, joy, joy there. Mercury in Virgo is all about planetary placement. It's about domicile and shining the light on Mercury, shining the light on communication. So it's the planet of thinking and communication is doing well with the analytical, organized sign of Virgo. So when Mercury is in Virgo, communication is articulate and clear. And other people will actually understand what you're saying. They'll kind of like get the whole concept of what you're trying to deliver all at once without you feeling like you have to labor over the words. So I'm personally going to mark my calendar on that day and think about, are there any particularly difficult conversations I need to have that I may have been putting off? I'm going to have them on that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you've got the planets aligned to help you put forth your best words. And also to help that other person be open and hear what you're having to say. So I think that's a little piece of yummy goodness. And you could apply that to whatever it is that you're working on.
I was going to say, yeah, even if it's not a conversation you need to have, maybe it's something you need to write. Maybe it is, you know, if you're looking to rebrand or do any marketing, how can you say that as articulately as possible so that people understand your image that you're going for, your brand, or whatever it may be? It's really advantageous. Mm-hmm. Anything to do with expression and communication should be looked at.
I like that a lot. Big opportunity on that day.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down some stuff about Black Moon, but I don't remember why. Do you remember why?
No. Well, Venus is making a bunch of aspects with Lilith, but also the archetype of Lilith.
Oh, that's right. They were talking about the various understandings of the phases happening in July through August. And they were talking about how these represent the different feminine aspects of Aphrodite and Lilith and Eve. And I think Persephone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it starts with Persephone. This is coming up here in the next few days. Mm-hmm. So you'll see Venus in the evening sky, but the light is getting dimmer. So this is a time to reflect on what's important and identify these patterns that no longer serve us. So that's the Persephone archetype that's happening.
Step one, identify the pattern.
Exactly. And then we have phase two, where Venus becomes invisible because she's going into the underworld. So this is the time to purge and shed our old skin so we can be rebirthed. And this is the archetype of Lilith because we're completely in the underworld in the dark right now.
Right.
So then in the middle of that, because at this point we will have shifted into Leo season. Mm-hmm. So we still have that fire of Venus behind us right now, but it's going to be manifesting in a different way here in a few weeks. Coming out of that into phase three, Venus is still retrograde and then meets the sun in a conjunction. So Venus meets the sun. So now she's a morning star. This is a time to tune into ourselves and discover what it is that we truly want and set the intentions for the next Venus cycle. So we don't even set the intentions until phase three.
Right. Well, yeah, because you have to do the first work. You have to identify what's the damage, what's the foundation, what's informing.
And clear.
Who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then clear
and
it.
And then step two is you've got to clear that, dig at it, work on it, clear it, release stuff.
And then we set our intentions. Right. So this, they're likening it to a new moon type of energy, going into like from the 13th of August to the 22nd. this is the archetype of Eve. Mm-hmm. Then we have phase four, where Venus is rising as the morning star. She's making a spectacular appearance in the morning sky again, at least for where we are. And she makes a statement, this is who I am and this is what I want. This is the archetype of Aphrodite. So this goes on through the end of August. And then we have the archetype or retelling of the rebirth of Venus in its own way through the sky.
Yeah, and there's a really good write-up on this whole thing that we're talking about that will kind of help you to get it all in your mind, because there's a lot of details that we're blathering on about right here. But you can go to, where is it? Go to Astro Butterfly. Venus retrograde in Leo, July through September. Astro Butterfly, Venus retro in Leo, July through September. And they map it all out for you. And it really is like a roadmap. I mean, if you look at this influence of July through August.
I get a lot of value from Astro Butterfly, because you can sign up for their mail list, and you're the one who actually pointed me in this direction. Yeah. But I look forward to getting those emails. I set aside a couple of times a week where I can sit and really take that knowledge in full. Yeah.
I write it into my day timer. I'm old fashioned, good idea. You guys. I got like a big book. It's my day timer. I write volumes of stuff.
I love that. I should do more of that.
But I do. I write all the astrology stuff in there. You know, so I look ahead. I'm like, where are the influences this week? You know, but it's a very valuable site. And on this particular post, they have a thing called Aphrodite's Diary 40-Day Challenge, and you can sign up for this thing. It costs $40. And it's just a 40-day challenge. So you pick what is it that you want to work on for the next 40 days. And then you use these four influences that we just talked about to move you through those stages of making change and gaining ground in whatever that is that you're working on.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it. I'm going to try.
Sounds really cool. Yeah. I think I want to kind of take the themes or the overarching archetypes and just do, like, you know, for the first 10 days do a ritual in that energy, and then each 10 days, you know, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, and phase 4.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of see where the peak of those transits are, because I'm chaotic and something every day for 40 days is overwhelming to me.
Yeah. Okay. And see, I like that, because Grace can look at this and have a different way to do it that fits who she knows she is and what she has going on in her life right now. You know, like, I mean, she's got a bunch of stuff, very, very busy right now. And I am like a queen of structure. I don't know why I'm not Capricorn, but, you know, I'm the queen of structure. So I love the thing. I got to do like a particular thing every day. I'm on that. Give me that thing, I'll do that thing.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. So make it fit for yourself.
Definitely.
And what we were thinking about with this whole cycle is the concept of the body as your temple. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole lot of controversy and heightened feelings over that whole concept. Mm-hmm. You know, because people immediately go to their weak point.
Yes.
You know, they go to weight. They go to, where do I not fit in with the societal version of what the perfect body should look like, male or female? They go to health. They go to disabilities.
A lot of times it's what you said, like they're focusing on what they don't have versus what they do have and where they can start.
Exactly.
And so if you're looking at it with the wrong mindset, of course it's, you know, treacherous, you know, like you just don't want to face that.
Well, you're done before you even start.
But you know your body and your health the best. Mm-hmm. And so taking notice of when you feel good, when you're running at peak energy, we're not saying like what you look like has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with your own inner balance and equilibrium and when you feel healthy and well.
Right. Mm-hmm. I looked up quite a few different articles online that have to do with health, that have to do with the pagan community, some articles on the quote-unquote epidemic of obesity in paganism. And some new introductions of actual groups online that people can join and hook up with to become a community where you focus on being your best self. Doesn't have anything to do with weight or height or race or any of that. It has to do with what is the best body temple that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are you strong?
Yes.
Where are you at your best? You know, because everybody's body is different. And when we try to put ourselves into that ideal mold, we lose sight of what's important. And sometimes we can even harm ourselves in terms of our
exactly.
health.
Yeah. And I think that the rest of society would really like to put us in a box, especially as women, and this mm-hmm. is what you should look like, and this is, you know, how you should eat or exercise or something, and we're not mass made. Like,
yeah.
we are all individually and uniquely made, so it doesn't really make a lot of sense, for at least from an energetic perspective, to keep buying into that idea.
Right. Well, and from a biological perspective, it doesn't mm-hmm. make any sense. Because if you look at any individual, you have this individual who's had certain experiences. This individual grew up in a certain place on the globe. So there are cultural influences and there are food and dietary influences from that place. And this individual might not even belong to that place. You know, they may have a heavy Norse influence in their body. They may have a heavy Native American influence. They may have a heavy African influence. All of those different cultural, biological influences also make a difference as to what that person's body is going to look like
mm-hmm.
and what's going to be strengthening to that person and what foods are good for that
mm-hmm.
person. You know, and then you throw in medical issues, any kind of disability issue, allergies. All of these different things make any individual very individual.
Yes.
You know, so you can't put a blanket stamp on
exactly.
it and say, you should do ABC.
Right.
Or you should look like ABC. You should feel like ABC.
For some people, that is not even physically possible without medical adjustment.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I think with all of the heavy Aquarian energy right now, it's helping us, you know, have this conversation
mm-hmm.
where we can talk as individuals and present a solution for the group as a whole.
Right.
Not saying, like, we're literally saying, don't everybody do the same thing.
Exactly.
Everybody's path should look different
yeah.
or you're doing something wrong.
Right.
If you're, like, trying to mirror somebody else's.
Or if you're sitting there waiting for the right book or the right health guru to say, this is what
mm-hmm.
you need to do. You know, maybe you read that book, maybe you go to that health guru, and bing, that's the thing that works for you.
Yeah,
great.
The inspiration is great. We're
right.
not knocking
but
it.
But don't expect it to work for your friend. It might
mm-hmm.
not, you know. When I was online looking at temples, I thought, well, okay, well, let's look at some actual physical temples and compare that to what we might think a body temple is. It was really, I hadn't actually thought of it from that perspective before. You know, so there are temples that are literally nothing more than a cave.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring in your candle to light your way down into the cave, and there's a small little shrine there. And you worship the deity in the presence of that dark, dank cave. You know, it's wet. It has that cave smell. There's no adornment. There's no color on the walls. There was not even a mat or a carpet to sit on. The altar was literally a little outcropping in the actual rock formation. And this is an ancient temple where people visit to pray all the time. You know, and then you look at massive, ridiculous temples like what you might have in India. The whole temple complex at Angkor Wat. You look at the pyramids. Look at the Chichen Itza temple in South America. These are massive buildings. But yet, each one is different and unique, you know. And then you look at an everyday church, regardless of denomination. You know, some of them are huge and gaudy. Some of them are just small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Denver Hindu temple is in an old house.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a house. You know, so when you think about all of these different styles of temple, but what actually happens in them is sacred worship, then so which temple are you? You know, you don't have to be a particular temple. You don't have to have that ideal in mind. Your ideal is your own ideal.
Mm-hmm. And being connected to that sacredness within and having the space and the also the grace for yourself to have that for yourself.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of that being said, when you think about your body as a temple, so if you are the body of the goddess, is she eating pizza? You know, and maybe once in a while she is eating
this
pizza.
This one is.
Well, you know, maybe once in a while she's eating pizza, but is she eating pizza every week? You know?
Yes.
Okay, y'all just like close your ears while I smack her. But you have to think about when you're eating something, when you're engaged in a particular behavior, is this the food or the behavior that builds my body temple? That represents my divinity, my sacredness, you know. And that doesn't mean that you have to all be aesthetics and, you know, walk around in an orange robe or whatever. But be aware of that. Because, you know, all acts of love and kindness are our rituals. But that doesn't mean every day is a pizza day, because I love that.
So not every day, love, but so, definitely, you know, every week. I mean,
right.
Well, for me, I mean, when you think about that goddess feeling where it's like luxurious and abundant, like,
yes,
my ancestry is really heavily Irish, so the bread and cheese for me is like, it's a whole thing. It's its own ritual to like prepare it and eat it, and it's always been a staple since childhood, so it's like a lot of different things in pizza specifically. That's why I'm so hype about it. Like, yes, I will eat pizza every week.
Then I will say, have it be a ritual. It's not something that you buy because you're tired and whatever, and you're going to get the, you know, the cheap cheese pepperoni pizza or whatever. Have it be a ritual.
Yeah, have the ingredients. Make it, you know.
And think about each of the ingredients and think about what they mean and where they came from and how they nourish the body. And have that be a ritual so that it's part of an abundant, fulfilling behavior.
Exactly. It's like you can use, you know, just as an analogy for examples of what you can do to bring magic even into your kitchen and in your diet. But say you want to make pizzas as your ritual. And, this week you want to work on your root chakra, so I'm going to use tomato. Mm-hmm. Maybe the next week you really want to do some heart healing, so you're like, okay, I'm going to use pesto as a base. Mm-hmm. And maybe the next week you're really just working on the neutral white light and just all over healing. Okay, so I'm going to use garlic oil or an Alfredo sauce or something that's neutral. Mm-hmm. So there's like so many options for what you can do and what you can add to it.
But make it sacred.
Exactly. Making it sacred.
And also, you know, use your intellect. Yes, you can have your sacred pizza day, but you can't have sacred pizza day every day.
No.
Not if you're going to honor your body temple.
Exactly.
And we're not talking about weight. We're talking about nutrition.
Nourishment.
And nourishment. Yeah. You know, so for me, the food that I like to eat that I know I'm not supposed to eat every single day is chocolate. You know, it's like, how many different ways can I eat chocolate? How many different ways can I get chocolate into my face?
I will get back to you on that. I'm still working on figuring that part out.
So, I'm going to really work on having my chocolate not be every day. I know, I'm already in pain just thinking about it. But not be every day. And when I do have it, I'm going to make a big deal about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to have a moment with my chocolate.
Yeah.
You know? And it's going to be like a sacred offering of a very fine chocolate that I would present to the goddess. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to bring it into my body in that way. But I'm not going to pound it down every day while I'm watching TV. And have you ever, like, had your little chocolate sitting there and you eat it, and then 5 minutes later you reach for the chocolate? You don't even remember that you ate it, and you're like, did I eat it? Did I leave it in the kitchen? Did I even enjoy it? What does it taste like? You know, it's like it was just invisible.
It was just
chocolate.
Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got no value for it.
Exactly. And I think also with the processed stuff, especially here in the U.S., it's not the same. It's not a pure chocolate. It's no. Even like some European chocolates that I've had were so much better. South American,
yeah.
Something where it's very pure,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't have all this extra stuff in it that we don't actually know.
Sourced.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna look up some fancy chocolates. I'm gonna spend some money on some fancy chocolates, mm-hmm. and just from doing that, I'm not gonna want to pound them down because
exactly.
I'm not gonna devour $40 worth of chocolate.
Exactly,
it's
definitely an indulgence at that
right,
point
because mm-hmm. it's special.
It's for a ceremony. It's for an occasion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm gonna bring Goddess into it and have my body be the embodiment of that temple as I'm making this offering of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. The other thing that I read about in terms of the body temple, again, is good food, not processed food.
Yep.
So it's not so much about how much you're eating, it's about what you're eating. And it's about what kind of care was put into that food when it was prepared. And then the other thing that's key is move your body. You know, move the temple of the god, move the temple of the goddess, move your body. And again, that doesn't look like any particular thing because we're all different and we're all starting at different places. You know, if a person is disabled and sitting in a wheelchair, well, okay, you're not going to walk a mile. You know, what are you going to do? Is there activity that you can do to move your body? Are there breathing exercises where you can breathe in the fire of Shiva?
Exactly.
You know, can you move your arms? Can you roll your wheelchair and get some cardio happening? Yeah, you can do those things. So everybody has to start where they are and not get fixated on the picture of the perfect athletic body running the marathon.
Yeah, just erase that. Just
yeah.
erase that. Put that
yeah.
to the side. And it well, maybe not erase it. Keep it because you can come back at the end and see the growth you've made
mm-hmm.
and your
mm-hmm.
your emotions towards that image that you
yeah.
previously held.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just really... it's. All very interesting to think about and to dive a little bit deeper into this side of things in a more spiritual and intentional way.
Yeah, because as pagans, many of us believe that the god or goddess is within us. And if that's where you stand, if that's your belief, what are you feeding her? You know, are you taking her for a walk? You know, are you...
Be right back. I gotta go walk my goddess, y'all.
Exactly. And isn't that a cool concept?
Yes.
You know, me and the goddess...
I'm gonna say that right now.
Yeah. So, think of it that way. And your body has to take you places. Iyengar had a quote that I liked. Of course, he's a big yoga guy. So, don't freak out. Y'all don't have to do yoga. But this is what BKS Iyengar said. Think of all your body does for you. This is the vessel that powers you through practice, carries you through family gatherings, guides you through giggle fits and best friends, supports you through difficult and challenging times. It comforts children, gives our partners a reassuring hug after the long day, supports us in a handstand that we've been working on forever. Breath, spirit, body, all connected. It's the conduit for our soul. It carries us through the years. To care for it is an honor and a privilege and a sacred act. We only have one. Treat it right.
Definitely. And that's what it comes down to. I think that sometimes it can be really uncomfortable to have these kind of conversations on a collective level
mm-hmm.
because people feel attacked, but
judge,
nothing...
possessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of us are, at this witch's table, are pointing that finger at anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's more so opening up that discussion to kind of go within and look and see where do you stand.
Right.
And how can you achieve the goals you want? Because some people are, like I was telling Melissa, this year I have had a lot of gains for myself and my goals when it comes to weight loss goals. And it actually started with a dental crisis. And I just kind of came to terms with the fact that I cannot, like, eat sugar and drink pop and do all this stuff. It's just, obviously, it's not good for me. Like, I got a tooth infection and almost died. It was really scary.
Yeah.
And it was so traumatic that it put me off to eating sugar all the time. And that really just was a whole catalyst for becoming more active because I wasn't so sluggish and slow from eating all the sugar. Mm-hmm. Then you get more active and you're like, okay, I'm going to eat more protein because now I need more fuel. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't even have time for carbs right now. Mm-hmm. And just different things like cooking more at home and not eating takeout and stuff as much. So a few weeks ago, I had gotten on a scale for the first time willingly in probably like 5 or 6 years. And I had like blocked it out before whenever I'd go to the doctor's office. I'd be like, you can just write it down. Like, you don't even have to tell me. Like, I don't want to look.
Yeah.
It was physically painful to mm-hmm. witness because I knew I could do better, and that's why I was avoiding it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're forced to, and you're like, okay, fine. I got on that scale, and I lost like 50, 60 pounds, something like that, because I don't know where I started.
Yeah.
I don't know where I started at. But
I can see the difference in her. I can see that weight loss.
It was a personal thing for me mm-hmm. to finally just face it, and then because of the thing that happened with the dental crisis, it wasn't like, oh, I've got to like do all this stuff right now. It's unfolded. It's been 8, 9, 10 months, something like that, for where this has taken place. Like, even to this point, I wouldn't try to do something overnight. Like, I've been steadily working and working at it and working at it. And now it's like making sure that I'm being taken care of and I'm not depleting myself like we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, it's about being able to do the things I want to do as I'm aging. And for me, it's mostly, well, number one, sugar.
It's hard. We are so sugar addicted as a country.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get away from.
And everybody in my family is diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only sibling that's not diabetic. My mother, my father, both grandmothers, all diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm just like, oh my God, I am not going to go and switch, you know, into that type 2 area. I'm not doing that. And the other thing is just about motion and movement.
Yep.
I do so many things that are cerebral, you know, and I sit a lot. And I really didn't think that was a big deal until I tried to go on a walk. And I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? I'm going to die here, mm-hmm. you know? So I've got to get moving because I have to have fire and fuel and strength in this body temple if I'm going to be able to do what I want to do. My focus in life is being in service, and being a representative of Wicca and promoting and growing and training in that and being a vessel for the goddess. And how can I do that if I'm tired and my body's weak?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was a real shocker to me. It really woke me up. It was like, whoa, okay, you need to get this under control. You need to start moving.
Mm-hmm.
You need to remember that this is your temple.
Exactly. And I think that's a really good way of framing it. I think sometimes it comes off as a little bit cliche in situations,
mm-hmm.
but when you dig deeper into that concept of your body as a temple and think of it like a physical temple, however yeah. that looks to you,
right,
or whatever it is that you desire your temple to be,
mm-hmm.
is completely attainable.
Yeah. And I think you have to have a concept of what does your body temple look like,
mm-hmm.
what's its purpose, how is it of service to you as a spirit, as a soul,
yeah.
inhabiting this temple. Is there a need that you have for that temple to be of service to others? Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but that's something to take a look at, you know. And then when you look at all those things, the answers are easier to find.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also important while we're talking about different visualizing and reframing and even manifesting that we're taking these actions and making our intentions based in a place of love and not hate or fear.
Yes.
Like, say you hate yourself. Well, you don't want to jump now into manifesting your perfect body because it's not solving the problem. You still hate yourself.
Right.
Even yeah. if you have the body you want.
Yeah, that perfect so you, body will be born of hate.
It's going back to the different phases where it's like, mm-hmm. first you have to acknowledge like what's causing that hate, get to the root of that, and now you have to clear it before you can move forward.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really you can use those cycles in the next 40 days, mm-hmm. July through the 1st of September. You know, really delve into that, really dig on those things. I like Grace's suggestion of spending 10 days in each concept, mm-hmm. and see where you are at the end of 40 days. And do you have a new concept of who you are and what you want to be doing in the world? And how does your body temple fit into that? How can you access those goals with this new idea of body temple? You know, we can talk all the time about what you want to create in the world, but if your body is not going to let you do it, you know, if your car broke down on the highway, you're not getting there. So, you know, your body is your temple. It's your car. It's your vehicle. So what do I need to do over the next 40 days to jump charge that, to remind myself of the sacredness of this temple? How am I going to care for it? What am I going to put into it?
Yeah.
How am I going to serve it so that it can serve me?
Exactly. And it's just all correlates very, very well with the Venusian themes that are going on right now. Mm-hmm. And thinking of your body as the temple, how do you want to decorate and adorn it? How do you want to worship in it, basically? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's very significant to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dealing with the themes of this right now.
Mm-hmm. And we pulled a card at the beginning to kind of give us an idea of what is the overarching feeling of this whole conversation. And we pulled the Ganesha again, Lord of Obstacles. And in the Tantric Dakini Oracle, Lord Ganesha is sitting in the cosmos in the center of a giant spider web. So, yes, he's there to remove obstacles. So what are the obstacles to you engaging in the concept of honoring your body temple? What are the things that need to be addressed? And remembering that everything is connected. That everything is connected. Every act, every step is connected to something else and moves you forward. And the other thing I like about this card, especially when we're talking about health and our bodies, is Ganesha is rotund. He's not a
he's not afraid to take up space.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's not a skinny aesthetic type, mm-hmm. of a deity. He's rotund and he's strong. And he moves. He does the dance of life, the karmic dance of life, and he moves the energies and brings things forward. So I felt like it was really an excellent representation of where we're at right now. And again, we used Ganesha last month, and here he is appearing again this month.
Yeah, this was when I pulled this card right before we started the episode. Mm-hmm. And of course, I just laugh as I set it down. Yeah. I'm like, nice to see you again.
Right. Take the steps, pluck the web, you know, let Ganesha get in there and remove some obstacles. And just revel in your humanness. Revel in the delight that is a human body, right where it is in this moment.
Yeah.
You know. And then take a step. Through the 40-day thing.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Steps.
Do you have anything else?
I don't think so.
I don't either. I did want to mention before we hop off of here that we want to do a Witch's Table Q&A here in a few weeks. I'm thinking probably our first episode in September is when we'll want to do this. I'll be adding all of this in the episode description once we peg down a date here. But we would really appreciate it if you would send us any and all questions you have about paganism, Wicca, any of the topics you've heard us talk about, or maybe you want to know more about, or be pointed in a direction as far as where to go on your own path.
A different topic you'd like us to talk about.
Yeah, any and all of the above. We would really appreciate it. We want to see what the questions are out there and want to know collectively what we can do to use this platform to enlighten and inform.
And what's on your mind.
Exactly. So I'll have that all in the episode description along with the contact info. As always, thank you for listening.
Bye.